So we begin this afternoon looking at point number four, which could say is the natural symbol. I want to turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 2, to start with. The book of Genesis in chapter 2. And let's read verses 23 and 24. We've looked at these verses several times. Probably not the last we'll look at them. Verse 23, and Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." Or they shall become one flesh again. They were one flesh, Adam. And from Adam, he took and made woman for Adam. We have clearly seen that there are two applications. First is the natural subjection according to a natural creation, a natural creational order. So the natural subjection coincides with the natural creation order. That is, man was created first in authority, first by virtue of his position being first created on the earth, and then created he, woman. The second is the divine subjection according to God's ultimate purpose for marriage. That is in God establishing marriage, the institution of marriage, the institution of the family, here in Genesis chapter 2. It portrays a divine subjection as well as a natural. For so many years, all I saw was the natural subjection and the natural order. But then God enlightened me and I began to see divine. What the natural, a husband and wife in the physical marriage and physical union, portrays. It portrays something much greater than that. The natural subjection has to do with the fact of creation. As we've already said many times over and just said a couple of seconds ago, has to do with the fact of creation. It's man was created first. In the scriptures we looked at in the New Testament, which is talking about in the divine within the church setting, it is always based upon the natural order. Man was created first, and then the woman was created. The woman was created in subjective position, and the man in the authoritative position. I know the world doesn't like to hear that today. There might be some of you sitting here today that don't like to hear that. But just remember, I'm just the messenger. This is God's word. This is God's order. And this is the way he created it. And he takes it over into the New Testament and says this is the way it's to be in the church because of the natural creation. creation and the order that we observe in the natural creation. The divine subjection has to do with God's purpose to teach us and teach the world concerning the relationship between Christ and His church. When you think about that, folks, that places a big responsibility upon the Christian husband and wife. That is what we're to be reflecting. We're to be reflecting Christ and His church in our roles in our homes. Therefore, we see a double picture of subjection. One that is natural, and, if you please, one that is supernatural. I might rather prefer a spiritual, a divine, but to stick with the word natural, we can say supernatural. It is of divine origin and divine picture. The natural subjection was designed by God. Nobody will deny that, will he? Except maybe the evolutionist. But the natural order was established by God. And it was to reflect the supernatural. Also in the natural, there is established natural symbols. Natural symbols for both the man and the woman to remind and teach them of their God-given position in the home and in society. Okay, what are these God-given symbols that reflect that order? Well, you can turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 11 and look with me at verse 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 14. Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? So the first natural symbol, he just said it. Verse 14. Does not even nature, does not even that which is natural teach you that it's a shame for a man to have long hair? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. The natural symbols is short hair on a man and long hair on a woman, and it reflects their position in the home and in society. Long hair on a woman is her natural symbol of submission. Got that? Long hair on a woman is her natural symbol of submission. She is in submission to her husband, to the man. Short hair on a man is his natural symbol of authority. He is taking his role as the authority figure of his household and in society. Go up to verse 6 11th chapter. Verse 6, we read, "For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn." You got that? "For if the woman be not covered," that is, in the assembly, in the place of prayer and prophesying, "let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn, her hair cut short, or even shaven, let her be covered." You decide. Is it a shame? Nature, we've already looked. 14:50. Nature says that man is to be cut, hair is to be cut. Therefore, his head not is to be uncovered when he comes into the place of prayer and preaching. But a woman has long hair, and her hair is given as a type of covering, like a covering. We'll get into that in just a minute. Now, and if it's a shame for hair to be short, cut short like a man, or even shaven, is it a shame? Well, we're going to see as we continue on in this study that it is a shame. It was a shame. It was a reproach. It was a sign of rebellion, a woman that had her hair cut short. So is it significant that in Scripture and secular history, that short hair on a woman has been a sign of shame, a sign of rebellion, and that long hair on a man has been the same? Long hair on a man has been a sign of rebellion. And I lived through an era of rebellion in the 60s and 70s. And those men that were in rebellion, they grew their hair long. They were in rebellion to establish. They were in rebellion to God. You're not going to tell me a couple here. I'm going to grow long if I want to grow long. It was a sign of rebellion, and we're taught that from the Word of God. One example in the Word of God is David's son Absalom. He was a rebel. He rebelled against his family. Yes, there was a horrible sin that was brought on by his brother and taking his sister and lying with her. But he plotted for 2 years. He plotted the demise and the death of his brother Absalom. And got his day. And all the king's sons fled because they didn't know what Absalom's heart was to do. But Absalom eventually, you know the story, rebelled against the throne. Rebelled against his own father in plotting to take the throne from his father. And his father fled to the mountains, to the wilderness, with his men until the Lord had him come back into the land and Absalom was killed. And even then, David, and I guess us fathers and mothers can understand the sorrow of David's heart and him crying out for his son Absalom, "Absalom, my son." But his long hair was a sign of his rebellion. And it would grow so long, and after a year, every year he had to have it pulled, he had to have it cut. And it weighed, what was it, 15 shekels? That was a lot of weight. His hair would weigh. Now, not only Absalom, but in secular history, it's said that the Greek philosophers had long hair as well. Sign of their philosophies and their rebellion against God and so forth. I know the age-old question. How long is long? How long should a woman's hair be? Well, the only answer I can give you is long enough that it leaves no question that you're a woman. How short is short on a man? Does everybody have to have their hair as short as mine, or even shorter? I mean, there are guys that shave their heads. Does every man have to have their head that short? Well, again, the only answer I can give you is short enough that it leaves no question that you're a man. That is, at a distance, I should be able to tell by looking at you, by your hair. That's our subject, your hair, and your clothing, that you're a man. And vice versa. Looking at you at a distance, by your hair and by your dress, your clothing, that you're a woman. God has always set a distinction between the sexes. He created man. He created man first, and he created him in the authoritative role, and from man he took and created a woman, and he gave the woman man. That's why the woman was created. He saw that it was not good for Adam to be alone. He needed a helpmeet, and he said, I will create a helpmeet suitable for him. And he created from Adam that helpmeet and gave her unto Adam. And along comes the nation of Israel. God chose Israel, a nation, not because they were better than anybody else or larger, anybody, because they were fewer, and we've seen their despicable birth and their despicable beginnings. In the book of Exodus in chapter 16, Brother Mike. Exodus, Ezekiel. Ezekiel in chapter 16. And he gave to Israel his commands there at Mount Sinai. And one of those commands was the distinction between the sexes in their dress. You can see where the world has taken this, where Satan has taken this, and he's taken this all towards confusion. And yes, I'm okay. He's taking this all towards confusion. To what we have today. Well, ladies, if you think you're a man today, you're okay to be a man. Men, if you think you feel like you're a woman today, you go ahead, you be a woman. Not according to God's creation. And God created male, Adam, and guess what God gave to Adam. He gave to Adam chromosomes. And what chromosomes did he give to Adam? The X and Y chromosome. And every man that has ever been born has the XY chromosome. And guess what he gave to woman? The two X chromosomes. And every woman that has ever been born has two X chromosomes. Denoting that they are male and they are female, it is distinguished by short hair on a man, long hair on a woman. It is distinguished by our dress, men, and by our dress, ladies. All through God's Word. Anything in between. That is, if I look at you and I cannot tell whether you're a man or a woman. Anything in between. Short enough that I can tell you're a man, long enough that I can tell you're a woman, and if it's anything in between, then it's confusion. God's not happy with it. Turn to the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians. 14th chapter, and look with me here at verse 33. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. And this chapter is talking about order in the assembly, order in the churches, order among the sexes, among the men and the women, and so on and so forth. Well, I'll keep my word to wife and my daughter and to you all. I think it's been about 20 minutes, and we'll stop there today. That's the end of that point. Next week we'll go on at taking a look at God intends that more than natural order, its natural symbols be displayed. He intends more than the natural order. Natural symbols be displayed. Shall we stand?